This episode was created by an Apollo Plus creator. Apollo Plus is a subscription that lets you listen to your favorite audio fiction series with no ad interruptions while supporting your favorite fiction creators. Shows on Apollo Plus have no ads, grant early access to new content, offer exclusive episodes, and behind-the-scenes clips, season supercuts, and more. And the collection of shows is always growing. 70% of the revenue goes to the creators you love and helps them make their next audio adventure possible. You can support dozens of creators with just one subscription. So join Apollo Plus today by downloading the Apollo Podcast app for iOS and Android, or by visiting apollopods.com. Now, enjoy the episode, and I'll see you on Apollo Plus.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and welcome to a very special bonus episode of The Dial-Up. My name is Craig McDonald Kelly, and I play Callum in episodes 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's more bonus episodes coming, by the way, in The Dial-Up. And sitting here, I've got my good friend, writer of The Dial-Up, Philip Edward Catherwood.
Wow, Full name. Thank you today.
That's it. No, I'm not pulling any punches today. Full name, right in the face.
We're revealing everything.
We are. Yeah. And we are sitting in the exact same spot that we recorded season one in, which is really cool, using the exact same microphone. Philip is sitting where our late friend David Hepburn used to sit. And
he's not our late friend. He just moved out of the house.
And he's also late often.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. That's true. Yeah, but that's fine.
And we're here. We're doing a fun bonus episode for you guys today, where I'm going to be interviewing Philip with some fun quickfire questions. But before we start, Phil, for any newbies who haven't listened to it yet, first off, what you doing? Listen. Come on.
I know. Yeah. Catch up. It's amazing.
Get on with it. Don't listen to this first. Go back, listen to the rest, and then come back. But if you don't want to listen to them, we've got our writer, Phil, here to give you a recap of season one and two.
Yeah, so if this is your first time listening to anything to do with The Dial-Up, I do recommend you go check them out. But yeah, very briefly, the first season had someone in the year 2022 encountering someone on an online voice call who happened to be from 1999.
Dun, dun, dun.
And they had to discover how this had happened. They discovered there's a wormhole in their basement. They figure out they're in the same building, but just in different times. And they have to work out how to close the wormhole because it is destroying one of their buildings, the one, your character, Callum, in the past. And then, so the wormhole closes, they get cut off, and then season two picks up with the main character, Lewis. He's now in the year 2023, and he encounters someone else on an online voice call, but this time it's someone else called Dana. And she's actually in the future. She's in the year 2052. Everyone has that. We're doing this after the episodes have been released.
Yeah, so, yeah. You can tell them all.
Yeah. So turns out she created the wormholes. She's a super smart scientist. And she created them in her building, which happens to be the same building that Lewis and Callum were in. And what else happens? Fuck, I'm drawing a blank. Yeah, sorry.
And that's it. And dinosaurs come and everyone
dinosaurs,
dies.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Callum comes back into it. He's in the year 2003. Mm-hmm. And then all three of them have to figure out how to close the wormhole again because it keeps opening up.
And then save the world.
Because the earthquakes are happening. Save the city because it's Glasgow. They all live in Glasgow. They're all in the same building in Glasgow. And yeah, the earthquakes are going to destroy the city. And then, I don't know. I don't want to spoil that. I feel like I don't want to spoil anything. But yeah, people have listened to it. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So there's your brief explanation. That's the kind of setup.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I just want to say, yeah, this feels kind of funny being in... just for some context, me and Craig...
Hello.
Who plays Callum, live together. And we used to live with David, who played Lewis as well, but he's moved to Los Angeles to be with his lovely girlfriend. And yeah, we're in this exact same spot that we did Dial-Up Season 1. And we're using the exact same microphone and everything. It's just that it feels like everything's come full circle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, yeah, we soundproofed the living room, but we haven't done it today as much as we did for Season 1. So you might hear some background noise.
Yeah.
The window's open. I'm sorry we're not making too much effort on this, but yeah, you might hear planes flying overhead, but that's fine.
That'll be good.
Yeah. Just adds character, adds sound effects.
Exactly. Real life sound effects from Vauxhall, London.
Yeah, there we go.
So, Phil, now that season two is all released, how do you feel? What's been the reaction? What's how was the experience? What's your thoughts and feelings?
It's all been good. It's been a lot of effort and a lot of time and everything. I started writing these episodes last year in 2022 in November. And then we recorded it in May 2023 and then released all the episodes in August. So yeah, it's been really cool. And then just all the kind of hard work we've all put into it and then seeing the reaction to it and like the plot twists at the end of the episodes, releasing them weekly. It's been very fun having people message me going, send me the next episode. So that means we're doing something right. And the recording day was really fun, wasn't it? We just let people know we recorded it in a studio this time. So that's why it probably sounds a bit different from season one. Hopefully sounds better. But we did it all in one day, which was... And remember we got there and...
we didn't do anything for like 2 hours.
Yeah, because all the equipment wasn't really ready and the... Yeah, I think the people who were using the equipment the day before kind of messed everything up. So we had to kind of sort out a bunch of things. But yeah, we managed to get all five episodes done one day. So that was really impressive.
Yeah.
But yeah, it feels good. And I don't know. Yeah, like season three. Let's do it.
Season three. I know. But how did season two come about? Was it always planned? Did you have the ideas while you were writing season one? Or, you know, why did you decide to go for the future as well?
Yeah, so like when I came up with the idea for the dial-up in general, it was whenever you bought this microphone, because you do a lot of voice acting gigs.
Yeah, yeah.
And as soon as you did that, I think it was like during lockdown times, wasn't it? So I was like...
It was, yeah.
Yeah, so I was looking for something to do that, like, because theatres were closed and everything, I was just wanting to write something. So I had you and David both living here, both terrific voice actors. So I was like, I'm going to write something for them so we can record it just ourselves, do it in the living room. So I came up with this idea. And then always just kind of joked that, you know, the idea for season one was a character talking to someone in the past. And I was like, yeah. And then season two will be him talking to someone in the future.
Mm.
And then I just did that. I was like, yeah, let's do it. Had so much fun doing this and working on this, the first season. I just thought, let's do more of it. Let's do a studio this time. And then, the idea was, you know, to have someone in the future and then just do the same thing again, you know, like, you know, just that.
Yeah,
you know,
name broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Just make some jokes about how someone, you know, how they're 20 years apart or something and like what's different in their respective times. But it's actually a line that you say at the end of season one where you talk about how the wormhole's been created. And you're just like, oh, it could be someone who's actually made the wormholes. And I just threw that line in just for, you know, just to add some mysticism, I suppose. But I was like, wait, that's actually a really good plot device and actually makes it a bit different instead of just it being, oh, no, he's talking to someone in the future. It actually expanded the whole world, the whole kind of universe, I suppose. So, that was the reason. And so that added a bit of weight to it. And as soon as I came up with that idea, that really helped me start writing the character. Dana,
speaking of Dana, she is in this and she is awesome. And why did you decide to write her in here with her, you know, her dynamic with Lewis and then Callum who comes in? Like, what makes her different than the other guys?
Well, that's the whole thing. Like, once I came up with the idea that she created the wormholes that connects them all, it just made it, because the first season, it was just like, well, not just, it was two regular Joes, wasn't it? You know, who didn't really know anything sciencey. They got caught up in this really massive cosmic entity, I suppose. But it was really fun writing a character who knew more than both of them, you know, who was a bit more clued into everything. And that was really fun to write her and Lewis's character, because he became your character, really, essentially, from season one.
Who asking didn't really all, know asking anything. All the stupid questions exactly. And jumping in like that.
Yeah. And she's the more knowledgeable one. And so that was a fun dynamic to kind of switch that. And it just kind of shows how like similar yours and his characters are, you know?
Because it's hard, because she is in the future. And obviously a lot of things you have in there. So for the past and the current and the present day, you had all the information. But this one was in the future.
Yeah.
And obviously the future is not here. So how do you research the future?
It's coming.
What
the
was
future
your,
is coming.
Future is always coming. But how did you decide what things to put in there and how, what to make, you know, Callum feel, no, sorry, Lewis feel silly about and then Dana to be, you know?
Yeah, that was the thing. I mean, writing-wise, that was such a fun, like, challenge, if I'm honest. Like, because season one, all I had to do was just, you know, go on the internet, read a bunch of stuff about what had happened, you know, and you could just make reference to all, you knew everything.
Yeah.
And then you're going from that to writing season two to knowing absolutely nothing that's going to happen. So I obviously did a bunch of research, but just kind of, it changed. Instead of like what's happened in the past 20, 25 years, it was what could happen.
Yeah.
And kind of, it's all guesswork, or you kind of just go, I don't know, you just look at predictions, you look at things that are happening now in terms of like, I don't know, scientific experiments or...
And it's fun because you just make it up as well. You can see what's kind of happening and then be like, ooh, what if?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of like, obviously Back to the Future 2, that was a big inspiration. Mm. Any kind of Doctor Who where they go into like a near future Earth, they always do really good predictions there. The Simpsons. I'm hoping, I'm looking forward to the next like 20 years to see if like the dial up did predict anything that happens. That would be like my dream like writing thing, because obviously the Simpsons are famous for just predicting everything. I don't know, like Donald Trump being president.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I'd love if something kind of came true from the dial up. Maybe not all the things, I don't know, some of them are scary, like antibiotics becoming less resistant to diseases. That would be quite scary, but that's something that's actually, you know, in the news a lot. So yeah, it was really actually just like a lot of, I read a lot of news things on like science and like, I don't know, space, anything that happens in the future. And just kind of forming my writing from there and like putting it in, I've kind of teased a lot of different things in the dial-up. I don't know, like fusion energy. So when I wrote the scripts, I wrote like, I was talking about fusion power, which is like, you know, have you seen Spider-Man 2?
Yeah.
Dr. Octopus.
Yeah.
The like experiment that he's doing, and that he needs the
sun,
arms.
The black hole thing.
That's fusion energy. That's what I've been telling everyone, because they're like, what does that mean? Well, yeah, so that's, you know, that's what he was doing. You know, the power of the sun in the palm
Shout
of my
out Spider-Man 2, one of the greatest movie soundtracks of all time, in my opinion.
Movie soundtracks?
Have you heard the CD for that? Spider-Man 2?
You mean like the songs?
The songs, yeah. You've got Dashboard Confessional kicking it off. You've got Switchfoot, Meant to Live. Yeah. Oh, screamers.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, there's also, I've played that soundtrack like, recently. Yeah. Like early noughties nostalgia. Speaking of which.
Nostalgia, there's a lot of that in here. What did you like researching and adding in? What were your favorite things from the early noughties?
Yeah, so the reason doing early noughties is because your character comes back into the dial-up, which was never really... that was never the original idea. Like I said, it was always going to be, oh, I'll talk to someone in the past, then this character talks to someone in the future. But I love the reaction to everyone loving your character and loving you and, I keep going to say David, you and Lewis is dynamic, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then people were like, oh, I really want them to, like, after your characters get cut off in the first season, everyone's like, oh, I want to see them back together again. I was like, yeah, me too, but, like, he's gone, like, that story's over.
Like David is in real life? He's gone?
Yeah, I mean...
Everyone wants to see us back together. But can't do it.
Well, he can come back.
He'll never come back.
So
you're not allowed to come back until you finish what you started.
Listening.
He's never listened to this. No, he should.
Of course he will, yeah.
If you listen to this, David...
Dialogue's biggest fan.
Text me the number 13.
If not... Right now.
You're a piece of shit.
In the future.
Anyway.
This is like the dial-up. Anyway, yeah. So yeah, like... But, I don't know, like when I was coming up with writing season two, I was just like, I can bring him back like that. Obviously with the whole time travel nature of the show. Like, but then I was like, oh, I don't want to do it if he's still in 1999. So I was just like, oh, what if he's just further in the future, you know, and then we can still do the kind of nostalgic element of the show, but just like a different era.
Yeah.
And it's only like, it's only 4 years after 1999, 2003
came out,
but really it feels like, I don't know, it feels like 20 years like has passed since then, or like all the stuff in the so like,
what's your favorite thing? top three favorite things,
top three from early noughties. MSN Messenger, definitely.
Oh, come on now.
I would kill to like have that again. I don't know, there probably is like an app you can
did you just have song lyrics in your name most of the time,
or
do
you I definitely did
are we
that
like an
at some
Philip
point.
X kind of thing.
I don't know. I didn't know how to do. People have beautiful like usernames where like, they were the
fonts and the emojis and stuff.
Yeah, like the emojis, emojis and everything. Yeah. And they just made pictures or everything like that. Yeah. Some of them like I don't know. Yeah. But I just thought, I think I was just like Pip 90 crap. Yeah, really bad. But yeah, MSN was so cool, and just the noises that when someone signed in, it's like bing.
Yeah.
Or was that good?
Nudging someone.
Nudging someone, sending the weird kind of GIFs, like the first GIFs we were aware of. I don't know.
Mad.
I just seen a compilation of them recently. You've not seen the one where it's like, I don't know. Do you remember them? No, like it was like really, there was a woman laughing. She's kind of going like that. People will know. People who know MSN Messenger will know what that was.
Look into this, yeah.
One was like a kiss that just lit, big red lips appeared on your screen. I just seen a compilation. I think it was on YouTube or something like that. And then like someone commented, it was like, anytime someone sent me these GIFs, my computer would break. My computer would just like freeze
just
and break.
Couldn't handle it.
And it was like, stop sending me these. So yeah, top three things. I don't know. MSN just definitely at the top. Off the top of my head. It's the first Spider-Man movie, which we did mention in the dial-up. But that started everything, didn't it? That started the whole Marvel universe.
And
made it Big Toby. Totally mainstream.
Yeah.
Big Tobes, yeah. And
shout out to Tobey Maguire. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you.
He might listen.
He might, yeah. You never know.
He's a big fan.
Maybe we should do hashtag Toby.
Hashtag Maguire. Hashtag and, Spidey Senses.
Third one. What's your third Nickelback.
Film? Oh, fuck yeah. Favorite Nickelback song?
How You Remind Me.
Yeah. Classic.
I've been playing that. My part-time job is working in Hard Rock Cafe at the weekends, and I play that on the speakers every Saturday, so Sunday. Good. Fantastic.
Let's sing it now. that is awesome. So, Phil, what has changed between Callum and Lewis this season? You made it slightly more awkward between them because of certain things that happened in Lewis's life that Callum was not happy about.
Yes. Well, that was another thing. I didn't want to bring Callum back and for it to be just you and him going, hey, man, it's great speaking to you again. And just having that nice nostalgic chat like in the first season, which he did. Yeah, like that's, I think it's the third episode. Yeah, you're a lot like that. But I just wanted there, you know, drama is conflict and all that. So I just wanted there to be something where you could have a little bit of tension between you. And that just kind of helped Lewis's character as well.
Yeah.
And his arc over the season, I suppose, is where, like, he's, after the first season, he goes on all these holidays. You kind of encourage him to get out of his shell and to travel a bit more, which he doesn't really do. And to meet more people and to talk to more people, which is something he wanted to do because he felt like social media was bringing him down. And he's kind of, that's the thing, you can do that, but sometimes you can just go back into your old ways. Like, that easily happens. So,
yeah, fall back into it.
Yeah, so... the reason you haven't just come back for the sake of it, you know, it's kind of, you've kind of come back to help him get out of his shell again and actually stick to it this
help
time.
Help him, remind him, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because I didn't want your character just to be there, like I said, for the sake of it. Needed you to have a little bit of an arc as well, which is really nice, because at the end of the last episode, I got to say, at the end of the last episode in season one, it's like the first time I've made myself very emotional writing, like a goodbye between characters, which has never happened. So I knew I was like on to a winner then. Yeah. I was like, yeah, this is good. I'm making myself. And at the end of this one as well, where you're kind of like, you're telling him, so it's like, you did all this. You don't need me. And like he was saying,
oh, don't let you set me off.
Craig had real tears in his eyes when he was recording.
I did. I'm a crier, folks. I get set off very easily.
I just want to say, I remember we did... at the start of this year, remember we did like a like kind of script reading,
a read through
of the early drafts of season two, and your reaction, which I might put on like as bonus episodes or something like that, because I have them on my phone. And your reaction, I was listening to them the other day, and your reactions to you finding out that you became the janitor, right? Like you got the job, and that's how you get down to the basement, and you were just like. And then you had to stop because you had tears in your eyes and everyone was laughing at you.
Yeah, I was like, I was so close to being set off. Oh.
But what were we saying? Yeah, that was the reason we did that for Lewis and Callum, just to give them a little bit of attention, because it just would have been boring.
Yeah.
If they were all happy all the time.
Definitely. So, Philip.
Hello.
The question that everyone has been asking.
Wow. How do you know that?
Because they're all asking me and I don't fucking know, so I'm asking you.
Okay.
Can you actually make an EMP with a disposable camera?
Yes.
tell us how, walk us through it step by step. No, I'm kidding. We don't have time for that.
I could have done it.
Yeah.
No way.
That's cool. That's mental. You had to do proper research to like figure that out.
I did research, and like when I decided the kind of plot device to kill the wormhole, which was made by nanobots, which kind of sounds crazy. I don't know if that's really possible, but yeah, I think I Googled how do you kill nanobots? And it was just like EMP, and I was like, cool. And then there's, you know, there's a bunch of other like sci-fi movies and books, like they've done this already. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always an EMP. But in true kind of dial-up fashion, it's kind of make it at home, you know, device. Yeah. And then yeah, that was like any kind of articles that I found or YouTube videos, it was always a disposable camera. The reason apparently that's the if you want to make you can Google this. Apparently, if you want to make an EMP device, all you need is a disposable camera.
Interesting.
And it's very technical. I remember in that read through that we did the previous drafts, it was all very technical. I think I did too much research and I was putting it all in.
Yeah.
And I think that episode,
in case there's any nerds listening, be like, well, you missed out the converter for the blah, blah, blah.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. There's 100% stuff that I've missed out. But I think when we were reading it, I think the main note was it just wasn't funny and it was far too technical. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely more stuff you need to do, and there's like you definitely need to use a soldering iron, which I don't think I put in, yeah, because you definitely gotta like put the wires together and everything. But yeah, I just wanted because this season is a bit more sciencey, definitely. Yeah, yeah. You know, there's because you have a scientist in it, you know, so mm-hmm. it has to be.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wanted there to be. I don't want it to like cut too many corners. So yeah, I wanted to make sure it wasn't a disposable camera. But that's just a funny image of you guys, you know. Trying to kill a wormhole with a disposable camera, taking a picture of it.
My flash didn't work. It was brilliant.
It's very
you got charge up that flash.
Yeah, I'm like massive Doctor Who fan, so like that was my kind of nod to that because the Doctor in Doctor Who always uses like some I don't know. There's episodes where he'll use like he's fighting volcanic monsters and he uses a water pistol. You know, it's just that's what they do, and like and there's episodes where he's running around with like those, you know, 3D glasses, like the blue and red ones, you know. So he's always using kind of like weird retro crap, you know, even though he's like this super smart scientist guy.
Yeah. The final episode, Phil, was a big climax.
Yes.
Got saved. How did you plan the numbers on the wall? That was quite cool.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I can't remember.
Cool. Next question. All right.
Yeah. No, I do. I love that episode. And like, do you know a little? I don't know if you know this. Like, originally when I was planning out the season, that was meant. The final episode was meant to be you and Lewis and Amy. Like, because Dana, played wonderfully by Amy Alexander. her earthquake is meant to happen. Like, it's kind of built up. Mm-hmm. They keep referencing that there's an earthquake and there's earthquakes happening in Glasgow. They keep getting bigger. And then that was meant to happen, and then she was going to get cut off, and the final episode was meant to be you two figuring out how to get her back.
Okay.
Did you know that? Did I tell you that? No. There you go.
Fun fact, yeah.
And then I can't remember why I changed it. It just didn't work, and also I didn't know how you two would figure it out, you know, when you didn't really know how anything worked to do with the wormhole or, like, finding, like, how everything connected.
Yeah.
So I changed it and made it... Amy and you, and then I thought that was like a good twist to kind of keep building up that the earthquake was going to happen in the future, and then it actually happened in Lewis's time. So
nice.
I was like, oh, that works. That's an even better twist, I suppose. And then so it just worked from that way. I was like, right, I need a way to connect them. I need a way for them to find Lewis again, and then you just kind of go through stages. Then it was like, right, well, they need like, well, you just kind of go, okay, well, Amy's in the future. She can see things, obviously, that they've done in the past. Mm. And then I was like, right, well, maybe something on the wall. And then,
Nice.
I'm not going to make it sound like it was like a grand plan. I literally, that's how I did it. I was like, right, okay, how can I make
just
them?
Just working backwards, be like, da-da-da.
Exactly. Nice. But that episode's so fun because it's just like, you know, you're doing the timed email stuff.
Yeah.
Cool. And the fact that you're, so yeah, it's so cool. You know, David's character, Lewis, is in the middle of you two. Kind of sandwiched in between you, and then it's the past and future working together to help, you know, the present day. So you can do so much stuff with that. You're sending an email from the past. She's using the numbers on the wall from the future. So much, that's why I love that episode, because it's kind of like everything that show is just kind of coming together.
Interesting.
That last episode, yeah.
And so what was planned, though,
yes,
very extensively, was the ending.
Mm.
Future Lewis Bulis coming onto the scene, played wonderfully by the lovely Ed Corey, coming to a big Scottish soap opera near you soon.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Hope he hasn't signed any NDAs.
Well, I didn't say which one. There's loads of them.
Oh, right, yeah. Name them.
No. Ed, I got you, buddy. I ain't putting you in the shit. But yeah, he plays... Who does Ed play in this last cliffhanger episode?
Yes, he plays future Lewis Bayliss, like you said. Mm. Yeah, and that was planned, and also... Yeah, I'm making this sound like, yeah, we're just making this up as we go along, but it's so true, I suppose. Yeah, like I said, I always jokingly said, oh, the second season's going to be someone talking in the future. And then me and David were talking one day, because he was loving the fact that he was back in season two as like a main role, you know, like in all the episodes pretty much. And then he was like, and then the third season should be me talking to myself in the future. And I remember laughing and then...
Absolute egomaniac.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then 10 seconds later, I was like, actually, that's a really good idea. Like, because I wanted to do like a third season.
Yeah.
I just didn't have an idea for it. I was like, what am I going to do? And then I just thought, that's a really cool way. And then that can end out as a cliffhanger for the end of second season. Mm. Instead of like wrapping it all up. We can actually end it on a cliffhanger. So yeah. Yeah. So that is the plot for season three. I'm not going to give anything away.
No.
Definitely all I will say is, you know, season one featured you heavily. Season two featured Dana heavily because she's the new character. It's all about the future. So the third season is going to feature future Lewis heavily.
Ooh, speaking of season three, when will that happen?
Good question.
Are you writing it now?
I haven't started yet because I'm still in kind of like, I don't know, admin for this season.
Yeah.
You know, getting it out.
Do you have ideas? Have you got stuff down?
Yeah, I do have ideas, but I haven't planned anything. I haven't wrote like a structure or anything, or like I said, yeah, that's all I'll say is will your characters be back? I don't know. I honestly don't know.
I want to come back.
You want to come back?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll see.
Okay.
See what we can do. But yeah, I don't know when, that's the thing. I'll try and keep like social media updated for what we're doing.
Yeah.
I want to do much more behind the scenes stuff.
Follow the Dial-Up Pod.
That's it, Dial-Up Pod. But yeah, it's going to be a bit hard because all the actors are in different places in the world.
Correct.
Different
continents.
Are going to Japan,
moving to Japan in 1 week from recording this.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. David's in Los Angeles.
LA.
Ed, as he said, has gone up to Scotland. He used to live in London. And Amy's actually coming to London, so she's actually made it very easy. Yeah, from Scotland, yeah. So she's made it easier, but everyone else is just kind of dispersed. So,
get us all together for a big another one-day session.
Exactly. It's going to be a lot of fun trying to get yous all in one location. Or maybe we'll all go to Japan.
Oh, that'd be nice. Get a Studio Ghibli recording booth.
Yeah.
And just...
Brilliant. Yeah, they'll give us one.
They're not busy.
#Ghibli.
#Ghibli. Sponsored by Studio Ghibli.
Oh, cool.
Amazing. So, Phil, I've got a few questions that I'd like to ask you.
Amazing.
To finish off with.
Yeah.
Some will be a bit quicker, some will be a bit longer.
Oh my gosh.
So, quick one to start with. What is the capital of Uruguay? Philip? Come on.
I don't know. Can you give me a clue? Have you got the answer?
Yes.
Does it begin with C?
No.
Can you give me a clue?
It begins with M. You got nothing. It's Montevideo.
Oh, okay.
That's an Italian accent. Okay, back to the dial-up. So was there anything about anyone's performance that surprised you, either on the day or editing it back and listening back?
Yeah, I don't know. You're all fucking great. And like the thing, yeah, like you, and yeah, I'm blowing smoke in front of you, but yeah, like you I know you do a lot of voice work, and it was just like, yeah, it was clear to hear that. And just seeing the prep that you've just added Green Apple, just let any budding voice actors know that why is that so good? Like
So the green apples were made by the dragons of old, and their acidic value dries up the saliva in your mouth, so you're not as sloppy when doing vocal work. And that and pineapples I hear are pretty good as well.
Yeah, and it just kind of cleans your voice. So
yeah,
sorts
you
out for it. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So like, just being honest, like we had one day to do it. So there were, we did some redos and there were some takes where we just had to use because we had it on the day and we couldn't redo them. There really weren't that many, that's the thing. But I just remember, you're not, you know, you know, you have a little cameo appearance pretty much, you know, but your takes were all pretty solid.
Yeah.
There were something, I don't know, yeah, where I could hear you breathing or something like that. You're a heavy breather.
Sorry, I'm allowed to breathe. Jesus.
Heavy.
God, Phil's the writer-director. He's tough, man. He's tough. So, Philip, out of Lewis.
Yes.
Dana.
Yeah.
And Callum.
Yeah.
Who are you most close to in terms of a character?
Ah, oh, cool. Good question. That's like Hot Ones level of good question. Do you like Hot Ones?
I never watched it.
Come on.
I know it, but...
The guy's a really, he's a really good interviewer, and he just, like, yeah, there's, like, a compilation of people loving his questions.
Yeah, I just get hungry, because I like chicken. So, I, like, get
distracted. So why don't you watch it?
No, because I want to go eat. You know?
Right, okay.
I want to...
Watch it while you're eating something.
No, because chicken wings are, like, sticky, and it's... Answer the question.
Who am I closest to? I don't know. Yeah, probably. Yeah. Is it a boring answer to say like present day Lewis? Because I live in the present day. But I suppose like a bunch of the stuff he says about social media and stuff like that. I don't truly believe. I really like social media and like technology and everything like that. Mm-hmm. I'm not too disheartened by it, but I do see the problems with it that people do highlight in our modern age. And is it a boring answer to say everyone as well? Like I'm close
yeah,
to all
know,
of them.
You
like,
wrote yeah. them, so yeah, I assume parts of you would be in everyone.
Yeah, that's yeah. Like I try not to do that, but it's impossible not to do. But yeah, obviously the nostalgic stuff, that's me just pining for, you know, life in the 90s and early noughties when life was simple and lovely. And then like, I love thinking about the future. And like I say, you know, I love The Simpsons because they do so much like predictions and all that. So like, I'm constantly thinking what could happen. So
yeah.
Yeah, I love all the characters. That's a boring answer. I'm sorry.
I love everyone equally. Boo! Anyway, so, folks, Philip edited every episode himself. He didn't outsource for an audio editor. And I came back from either work or going out for drinks, late night karaoke, and I would see Philip hard at work editing late into the night.
Yeah.
For days and days and days on end. So he did that for you. Guys, he did that for you.
And so you can donate.
Just the big page in the link below. So my question is, Phil, do you have a newfound respect for audio editors after working tirelessly to do all this?
Absolutely, yeah. And like just edit any editors in general or video editors or whatever. And I've had, the reason I did it was I wasn't doing it on the fly. Like I did study like a film TV production course. Mm. I've done editing. I've used Final Cut Pro. So you know, whenever it just came down to that, it was like, should I get an editor? Should I do it? I was like, no, I'll do it. And I enjoy editing. So I did have to take up a lot of my free time to do it, but yeah, it is fun. But I do have a lot of respect, obviously, especially for people, other indie creators, you know, who I've met, on this like journey of releasing the dial up, people who do it. Still not getting money yet, you know, or still like building up, you know, that make money through advertising or through Patreon or anything like that. But you do have to take up a lot of free time in between your day jobs and do it. So yeah, definitely. I don't know. And the thing was, I was far too, maybe I was trying to be perfect with it. You know, like there's some things where I didn't have to edit it for so much, but you know, but you try to, make it perfect. But yeah, I still enjoy it. That's the thing. Might try and get an editor for season 3. I don't know.
Okay. And my final question, Phil.
Yes.
Is a quick fire round.
Oh my gosh.
It's a quick fire round of early 2000s movies.
Amazing.
Or 2000s movies in general. Hold on, I'm going to try to do mostly early. I'm going to give you two movies.
Okay.
And you just have to tell me which one you prefer.
Okay.
Spy Kids or Charlie's Angels?
Spy Kids.
Scooby-Doo or Bend It Like Beckham?
I've never seen Bend It Like Beckham. I know, isn't that... That's crazy. I love football as well. So, what was Scooby-Doo?
Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, Scooby-Doo, I suppose.
All right.
I bet you Bend It Like Beckham is so much better.
It's pretty good. Amanda Bynes. Is it Amanda Bynes? Amanda
Bynes? No, it's Keira Knightley.
What? What am I thinking of?
You're thinking of She's the Man.
Oh, yeah.
Another early noughties classic.
Interesting. Yeah. All right, She's the Man or Bend It Like Beckham. Okay, The Emperor's New Groove or Eurotrip?
Eurotrip.
Oh,
God. I know. Emperor's New Groove is so good. I haven't actually seen that in years. But we watched Eurotrip recently. That's so funny. Remember, we watched it during lockdown.
So funny.
The Vinnie Jones character. Yeah, the Man United fan.
So Freaky Friday.
Yeah.
Or Shrek.
Shrek. Mm. Come on. There's no.
That's true. Yeah. I should do that. Shrek or Spider-Man too.
Are you doing that now?
Yeah. Yeah. Change it.
I don't know. You can't make me do that.
Yep. Come on.
But you know I love Spider-Man.
I do, but Shrek's the best film ever.
I have to go Spider-Man too. But Shrek is, yeah, I can't believe we didn't put a joke in. I forgot to put a Shrek joke in the dialogue. What's wrong with me?
It's all right. You can't win them all. Yeah. And then last one, a Tamagotchi or a Furby?
Tamagotchi. Furbies are
nice.
Freaky.
They're creepy, man.
Yeah. they're cool, though. Like, I definitely had a Furby, but I definitely had a Tamagotchi. Yeah. Did you have a Tamagotchi?
Yeah. Can't remember it as well as a Furby.
I remember. I think I had like 2 or 3 over different like times. But I remember having a human Tamagotchi.
So a babe. Oh, you know what?
Yeah, yeah. It's like a Sim, I suppose. like the Sims. But
okay. But
I always find that weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I enjoyed it at the time, but I was like, weren't Tamagotchis like just like weird, like kind of like Pokemon?
Little monster-y yeah. things. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I had a human one. That's so weird.
You got a defective Tamagotchi.
Yeah. Yeah. If anyone had a human Tamagotchi, please.
Yeah, reach out.
Email me, philip.catherwood@outlook.com. Email specifically.
And that's all we got time for, folks. Thank you so much for tuning in to this bonus episode of The Dial-Up.
I just wanted to say thank you, anyone who's listened to The Dial-Up, the series, and this interview. There's more bonus stuff to come. I don't know what order I'm releasing them, but there's going to be a gag reel. There's going to be more behind the scenes.
Oh, gag reels. I've had a good gag reel for a while.
Yeah. There's going to be like behind the scenes stuff in the studio, loads of stuff that I was keeping secret because you're in a lot of them. Mm. And I just wanted to keep your kind of comeback secret, yeah, I suppose. Yeah. There's more stuff coming. I hope there's, I'm going to try and keep people involved like on Twitter and stuff like for season 3. I actually might try and involve them in the writing process. I don't know how I'll do that.
Trust me. Ask for ideas or stimulus and catalyst or stuff.
I think I will, but I might give away some things. I'll definitely do it though. Yeah. So, but thank you anyone who's listened. And I'm thinking of like, yeah, this is my first audio drama that I've done and I hope it's not the last one.
Mm.
I hope there's more. But I haven't even done like a Patreon for this, a coffee. It's called, you know, coffee?
No.
Or is it called Ko-Fi? You know,
K-O-F-I.
We sound like such noobs here. But yeah, all the kind of Patreon, like really like good indie audio dramas have all of them. And I'll definitely be setting them up. And good for like bonus content and stuff.
Hell yeah. But, so loads more dial-up stuff to come.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, folks, thank you so much for tuning in.
Thanks,
Philip Catherwood, for being here today.
Thank you, Craig, for interviewing me in our living room.
Absolutely. I'm going to go make a sandwich. And
oh, wow. What kind?
I don't know. I'm going to see what I got.
Cool. Okay.
Anyway, bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Love you.